Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, Free Inside Ministry. I want to give a shout out to all those that are listening tonight. I want to give a shout out to those Halava Friday Chapel and Berean Boys. Brothers, keep up the good work. Also want to thank those brothers that assist us every time we're in chapel or when we come up to do a praise and worship concert. Waiava, you're going to see us tonight. Module 10, Cashbox Program, keep up the good work. And to our Maori brothers, time's coming short, brothers. Keep up the faith. FDC Faithfuls, you guys keep marching on, saints. Had a wonderful Sunday with you guys. OCCC Module 18, it was great seeing you guys. Annex 1, get there next week, Saturday. Module 4, it was nice seeing you ladies. And Module 11, Brother Dave and the brothers doing their Bible study. I'm going to try and get through those gates on Saturday. Put me in prayer, get me through those doors so I can come and visit with you. And also tomorrow night, out in the women's facility, my wife and I will be there. It's an answer to prayer. From over 2 years, we've been trying to get there, and God willing, the doors have finally opened. And we're so gracious, and we're so happy to be there. And it's going to be a wonderful time to catch up with old friends that we met at OCCC years ago that are now doing their time in the Windward Side. We're coming with the joy of Jesus. We're coming with the good news of the gospel. We're coming with the Holy Spirit. And we just want to come and pray, come and praise and worship, and just share with each other. You know, we've got a great conference coming up this Saturday. We want to give a shout out. It's Calling All Men, Not by Might, Not by Power, But by the Spirit of God. This is Saturday, April 13th, this coming Saturday. Registration's at 7:30 a.m. Registration at 7:30. The conference is from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Kalihi Union Church. This is right across from New City Nissan. It's on the Eva end of King Street, the beginning part, 2214 North King Street at Central Union Church. Admission and lunch is free. Did I say free? I said free. Got Pastor Benny Jacques coming in from Victory Outreach, Las Vegas. And this is going to be a conference that's going to help the men that have been come out and back in society find their true calling. Find out what God has in store for you. The purpose of this conference is focusing on what you do when you get out of prison. What happens when you're clean? What's next? They're going to help you find your mission in life through Jesus Christ. We've got some wonderful speakers, just some awesome men of God. Pastor Mike Archibald from One Love. Pastor Claudio Borgia from Jesus Christ, the Chief Cornerstone. Pastor Luigi Figueroa, Reflame Ministries. Pastor Guy Capilliella from Hope Chapel, Second City. Pastor Kimo Matsumoto from Powerhouse Church. Pastor Sean Nakamoto, New Hope Aloha Paole. Pastor James Panetta, Fishers of Men Third Day. Pastor Eddie Romo, River of Life International. Pastor Gary Shields from Victory Ohana. Pastor Jonathan Steeper from Kalihi Union Church. Pastor Curtis Suzaki from Zion Ipuka. And Pastor Tony Velasco from Victory Outreach. Brothers, make sure you get there for a chance for fellowship, worship, and great breakout sessions. If you have any questions, call Eddie Ochoa at 845-9944. Once again, that's a conference this Saturday, April 13th, 8 a.m. to 1:30, Kalihi Union Church. Conference focused on ex-convicts and ex-drug addicts. I love the X in those words. Yesterday, you know, we talked about adversity, but just want to remind you that Free Inside Ministry is our prison ministry that has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in the facilities on Oahu and even in Saguaro, Arizona. I want to send a big mahalo to all those that have joined us tonight. Check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. or where you can find all of our programs, where you might download them or listen to them at your convenience on the website. We have an email address, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry. Our anchor verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for hope and the future," Jeremiah 29:11. And it goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land." Amen. You know, we're going to continue tonight on part two of our series. And we started last night, and it was about adversity. And we're talking about our brother Job in the Old Testament. And you would have to agree that brother Job had to deal with some adversity. Now, to refresh your memory, the definition of adversity is a state of hardship or affliction or misfortune or a calamitous event. Or when circumstances or a situation works against you, you face adversity. Excuse me. For the majority of us listening in tonight that are incarcerated, whether you're sitting on the edge of your bed or your bunk or just sitting in your cell, you would probably try to convince me that you are dealing with some adversity right now. You would try to explain to me that you have an adverse situation that you're in right now. And I would agree with you. But you see, when I hear about people dealing with adversity, I have a new appreciation. I have a genuine admiration for Job. Now, last night we talked about Job, how he was the richest man in the area. He had 7,000 sheep, 7 sons, 3 daughters, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Now, to say that Job was on top of the world, to say that Job had it going, to say that Job had his mojo running would be an understatement. Even in today's economic society, given these conditions, Job would be very, very well off. So imagine how it was at that time. So it goes on to say with the story of Job how Satan came after him and the Lord allowed him. First, he would take all of his belongings, all of his material wealth, and he lost everything. Now remember when the messengers were telling him, first, his sons and daughters are feasting at the oldest brother's house, but the messenger arrived at Job's own, telling the oxen and the donkeys were all stolen and all the farmhands were killed. While that messenger is telling him that situation, another messenger runs up and says, wait. He says, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, burned up your sheep and all the shepherds." And he was the only one who escaped to tell him. And while he's telling that, another messenger runs in, hey, wait. He says, 3 bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. And while that messenger is speaking, another messenger runs in, hey, wait. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their eldest brother's home. A powerful wind swept in from the wilderness, hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Excuse me. So now, every material thing or possession that Job had is now gone. Everything from his sheep to his oxen to his camels to his donkeys to his shepherd men to his servants to his children. Job has lost everything. I don't know what position you're in. I don't know what situation you're in. But I'm not sure if you've ever been to a point where you have lost everything to the degree or to the extent that Job has just had to deal with. And it wasn't over a space of time. This was instantaneously. As one messenger is giving him the message of tragedy, another messenger comes on top of it. It's like they're stacking on top each other. One on top of each other. Just when we thought things were bad, they got worse and worse and worse. After hearing all of this, Job stood up and tore his robe in grief, shaved his head, and fell to the ground to worship. I didn't say complain. I didn't say to cry. I didn't say to grumble. I said to worship. Imagine that. And that's when he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Well, that's pretty much what we discussed last night. But we did have the part where now he didn't falter in his faith, so Satan was upset. So the Lord allowed Satan to make Job sick. So Satan placed the big bambucha oozing juicy boils all over Job's body. Job. So Job was scraping his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat amongst the ashes. And his wife, his love of his life, his one and only, the apple of his eye, comes out and says lovingly, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Wow. Honey, I love you. What a better way to say that. Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said nothing wrong. So that takes care of his wife. So she's kind of upset. She can't go down to Alamon and go buy the expensive Louis Vuitton bag that she wanted. But now here comes Job's three friends. This is where we're going to pick it up tonight. And it's not like the Three Stooges, but he's got three buddies, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Now, they began to wail or to scream loudly. They tore their robes and threw dust in the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. And okay, now we got to get a visual. Okay, so your three friends, your buddies, they come down. They don't know what happened, but they know that you are not in the best of physical shape. You are sitting there with pus oozing from your boils. You're sitting in the ashes. You're scraping it. You probably look a little despondent, if not like suicidal. And they don't even recognize you. Man, these are good friends. First thing you do is sit down and they all shut up. Not for 20 minutes, not for an hour. 7 days, it says in my Bible. They knew that his suffering was too great for words. Finally, Job spoke. And he wanted to recant the day of his birth. Why he even existed. Let the day of my birth be erased and the night I was conceived. Let that be turned into darkness. Let it be lost even to God on high. Let no light shine on it. He didn't even want to be born. It goes on in verse 11 in chapter 3 in the book of Job. Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me at her breast? Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep at rest. I would rest with the world's kings and prime ministers whose great buildings now lie in ruins. See, Job is upset. He's decimated. He's destroyed. So now after 7 days of sitting with his three best friends, he's beginning to speak. Then one of his friends starts talking. And this is Eliphaz. And he replies to Job. He goes, will you be patient and let me say a word? For who could keep from speaking out? In the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. But now, when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? Stop and think, do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed? My experience shows that those who plan trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. So he goes on and on and on. He goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 8 in Job, it's really a good read. Open the book of Job. It's going to give you a wonderful perspective. It's going to give you a perspective that I wish I had in my life. I wish that when things went upside down, I would praise the Lord louder instead of grumbling louder. I wish that when things happened that I didn't agree with, I would lift his name in prayer. I wish when things were upside down and I had no clue what was going on, I would worship my Lord and Savior in fervor. Because Eliphaz goes on to say, if I were you, I would go to God and present my case to him. He does great things, too marvelous to understand. He performs countless miracles. And he goes on to say, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. So this goes on and on and on. He's only the first friend. The other two are going to talk to him. So then Job has had enough of listening to his first friend. And now Job is singing the blues. If my misery could be weighed and my troubles be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sands of the sea. That is why I spoke impulsively. For the Almighty has struck me down with his arrows. Their poison infects my spirit. God's terrors are lined up against me. Don't I have a right to complain? So Job is going to continue on his response. In chapter 7, he goes on, is not all human life a struggle? Our lives are like that of a hired hand, like a worker who longs for the shade, like a servant who waits to be paid. I too have been assigned months of futility, long and weary nights of misery. My body is covered with maggots and scabs. My skin breaks open, oozing with pus. So now his second friend is going to jump into the discussion. How long will you go on like this? You sound like a blustering wind. Does God twist justice? Does the Almighty twist what is right? And his friend Bildad goes on later to say in verse 20, chapter 8, but look, God will not reject a person of integrity, nor will he lend a hand to the wicked. He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the home of the wicked will be destroyed. Now Job responds to his friend Bildad. Yes, I know all this is true in principle, but how can a person be declared innocent in God's sight? If someone wanted to take God to court, would it be possible to answer him even once in 1,000 times? God is so wise and so mighty. Who has ever challenged him successfully? So he goes on and on. And then in chapter 10, Job starts beginning to frame how he's going to speak to God. I'm disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. I'm going to say to God, don't simply condemn me. Tell me the charge you're bringing against me. What do you gain by oppressing me? Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while smiling on the schemes of the wicked? Are your eyes like those of a human? Do you see things only as people see them? Now, Job, continually, he wants to go and present his case to the Lord. He wants to ask God. You know, sometimes we're like that, my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes if we don't understand something, we want to discuss it. We want to petition our case. You see, but no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what the Lord has planned for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In Job's situation, everything came to a crashing halt. Everything came to the end of the road. It was the dead end. And finally, the Lord has had enough. The Lord has had enough of the complaining. And he answers Job, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. You can tell by the tone of voice, God's upset. Brace yourself like a man. It's like, oh, get the belt, it's coming. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. And who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid the cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. By the way, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far, no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The lights disturb the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. So God keeps going on and on and telling Job, and for a few chapters. But finally, in the end of the chapter 42, Job replied to the Lord. I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends. You have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. Take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I'll accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant. So they went, and then Job offered the prayer. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. The Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. I think we can come into agreement and say that Job dealt with more adversity than any of us will ever see in our lives. But you see, what kept Job going? It was his faith. Even his own wife, even his own love, the mother of his 10 children, told him to curse God and die. Now, I don't know what part of love that is, but that's what she told him. Sometimes we need to be able to hold on to what we know is true. What we know is true is that the Alpha and the Omega. What we know that is true is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What we know that is true is Yahweh, the Great I Am, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. That is who is our Lord and Savior, the creator of all living things. We need to hold on to what is true so that when things happen in the realm of our human existence, we rely on our spiritual existence, our faith to our Heavenly Father. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what we need to hold on to. We need to hold on to the fact that we have the victory through Jesus Christ at all times. We need to know that our faith is powerful. Because Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Sometimes we get stuck in our littleness, in our pettiness, in our pity party. Remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, it says best in Psalms 46:1, my brothers and my sisters, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like everyone has abandoned us. And that pretty much could be the truth. Everyone has abandoned you except Jesus. In Hebrews 13:5-6, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Sometimes we just don't know that we should be more thankful than we are. We need to be more grateful. We need to understand that serving the Lord is what's going to get us through this thing called life. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be times when things are upside down, but the one thing that remains the same is the love that the Father had for us, is the love God has for us, because he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for our children's sins, and for the sins of the world. That is the gift of love. See, Job never faltered in his faith. He got upset at the situation. He got upset at what had happened. He got upset at the conditions he was in, but he never talked badly about God, even though his wife wanted him to, even though his friends were explaining things to him, even though his entire world as he knew it came crashing down around him. He praised God for what he had done, but he worshiped God for who he was. The lesson I want to take from this tonight, my beloved, is even though things get hard, think of Job worshiping the Lord. And remember, in the end, the Lord returned everything to him and in double. Doubled everything he had before. Although it looked bleak, he was too weak, but the Lord was his strength. Want to bless all of you tonight. Get a good night rest. We'll catch up with you tomorrow night. Ike akua kohonania. To God be the glory. Ahuyo.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.